Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the evening edition of the Andrew Shatkin Show, sometimes at 6:30, sometimes at 8 o'clock, sometimes at 9:30 and even 11. This is the weekend edition, and tonight, as you people may know, I have an MDiv, a theology degree from Princeton Theological Seminary, and I have functioned as a pastor in the Lutheran Church, and I have written extensively on Christian dogmatic topics. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but I think you should know the nature of my background and how this show works. This show is a politically incorrect show. Namely, we're out for truth and facts. We're not out for media lies, media falsehoods, or false political rhetoric. We're out for truth and facts. Second thing, so it's politically incorrect. Not politically correct, but politically incorrect, you might say. And also, the show is has a Christian orientation, and I adhere to the Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, and Athanasian Creed, and I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And if I read a book, I'll read the great books of the Christian thinkers of the past, whether John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress, whether Hilaire Belloc, whether G.K. Chesterton, whether C.S. Lewis most lately, whether St. Augustine, whether St. Thomas Aquinas, or whoever you might name as a Christian thinker, these are the people I am interested in and want to read and want to know and be informed about the importance of my faith in that respect. And also I have to note the very significant value I attach to the canon of the New Testament, the Gospels, and the Epistles of Paul. Epistles of Paul. Paul was a great, great religious thinker, and that's why his epistles are there in the New Testament canon. They're there because of his great thinking ability as a Christian founder. I run two radio shows, this blog radio show and a podcast radio show, and I've had many visitors from many countries all over the world. Over 4,400 people have visited the podcast. And many, many people from countries all over the world visit the Blog Talk Radio Show, including Saudi Arabia, India, Bangladesh, United Kingdom, Germany, to name a few, Malaysia, Japan, and those are just a few of the people that have visited. I'm very happy that my dear Muslim brothers and sisters have chosen to visit these sites in my radio shows. I also am the author of 10 books, Christian books and legal books, and the Christian books I've written are Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and a book on the parables, and two books, legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2. Most lately, I'm very happy to have published a 390-page book of the analyzing all 150 Psalms. The Psalms, to me, are the voice of God and Christ speaking to me. They're great lyric poetry. They're great Jewish lyric poetry. They're fantastic as poems, and they are fantastic as religious expositions. They're wonderful, and I can't stop reading them, and I have never stopped reading them from the time I memorized them in Sunday school, the first Psalm and the 23rd Psalm and the second Psalm. From that day on, the Psalms have been my idol and my thought stream. The things that I believe in are expressed in the Psalms. So I also am planning other books, two books of blogs, which I've completed one, which will soon be published. And I'm also writing a book on the pretrial motions and hearings in criminal law. I've partially completed that. I'm also writing a book on an analysis of the book of Job, a wonderful book. Job was an Edomite. He wasn't Jewish. How it got into the Hebrew canon, I don't know, but it's in the form of a Greek play, and he was apparently Greek in his background, Job. So I also will be writing a book on the miracles of Christ, miracles in the Bible, both in the Hebrew Bible and in the New Testament. I'm working on that. I've partially completed that. And I'm working on a book on the sayings of Christ, which will be included in the blog book. I also have written over 800 blogs from all of literary, theological, and political. And these blogs are visited by many people from many countries all over the world. And they can be found not only on my website and social media, but on academia.edu. These blogs are fully available to all persons, and they are visited by many people from many countries all over the world, including my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, who are most welcome. By the way, in my sites and in my thinking, all faiths and opinions and ideas are welcome. Jesus excludes no one. He offers his love to everyone. And I know that Jesus is the answer. And I'm willing to dialogue with any difference of opinion or thought or concept or idea or faith. I'm willing to talk about Jesus and why he is God. That is the. By the way, a Christian cannot be a Christian who does not believe that Christ Jesus is God and offers eternal life. Those of people who are going to church and don't believe that, they're in the wrong place. They'll have to go to some other place like the Lions Club or something if they want to. The thing is that tonight I'm going to talk I have also written three very important articles on Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, on the United States educational system and its failure, and on the discrimination, which I abhor, with respect to people's sexual orientation. And I have also written a book on criminal procedure in the Syracuse Law Review. And these articles have been bought by the State Department in all instances, by many, many European libraries in all instances, and also in the Syracuse Law Review. It has been bought by the United States Supreme Court. So, just to give you a little bit of background about me, and not that I'm terribly proud of it. I suppose I have want to be noted or noticed as much as anybody. But tonight I'm going to talk about the sacraments. Now, the sacraments, whether in the Roman Catholic or Protestant Church, are a little bit confusing to the outsider. In the Catholic Church, there are seven sacraments: the Lord's Supper, baptism, marriage, priestly ordination, confirmation, penance, and last rites. In the Protestant Church, and in particular the Lutheran Church, of which I am a member, there are two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. These sacraments in the outside world are seen as somewhat crazy or misunderstood or as irrelevant or possibly as a product of an outmoded antique worldview. This is less I expose to proposes to talk about the nature of these sacraments in the Protestant Church, to try to understand them. First of all, the only way to understand the sacraments is to understand that the Church exists to bring people to Jesus. It's a call. It's a vocation. The Church exists to bring Christ to Jesus, Jesus to humanity. And so baptism, as a sacrament, is to bring a child into a relationship with Christ. It is the beginning point of the transformation of an individual into the image of Christ. So it is bringing the child into the kingdom of God in Christ. Baptism is an attempt to attach the human soul, that stage of life, to the person of Jesus. So what baptism is about is bringing the child to the kingdom of God in Christ. It is the beginning point of the transformation of that child as a human being into the image of Christ, and is an attempt to attach the soul of that infant to the person of Jesus, who resides in heaven with the two other persons of the Holy Trinity, God the Father and the Holy Spirit. The persons of the Trinity, let's understand the Trinity. They are in relationship and communion with one another. Their relationship is one of love. That is the nature of the Trinity, mutual exchange of love, I think, and the exchange of love to the person who tries to work with them and be with them. So baptism brings the infant into a beginning of a relationship with Christ. which will eventually transform him to the fullness and riches of what a human being is capable of being. And the baptism is bringing the love of Christ, and that love, and that communion of love, as a beginning point with the infant, who will gradually transform that infant into his full image of Christ. So let's try to understand. I think we've kind of covered what baptism is all about. Now let me talk about communion of the Lord's Supper. Now, for people outside the church and Christianity, the act of eating the body and blood of a God, in this case Christ, is completely primitive and out of sync with the modern world. The communion meal involves the element of sacrifice, namely the death of Christ on the cross to atone for our sins. So, communion is a scandal to many people and misunderstood outside of the church, since we are told that we are eating the body and blood of Christ, sometimes symbolically, sometimes actually, depending on the church, Lutheran or Roman Catholic or Baptist. But we would think that communion, as we understand it, as somewhat crazy, out of sync with the modern world, since it involves the element of, but it does involve the element of Christ dying for our sins. And for many people outside of the church, the act of eating the bloody and blood of Christ is somewhat outrageous. However, as I said, to the outside observer who is more intent on getting an upscale car or a beautiful wife, the sacrifice of Christ and the reenactment of that sacrifice in communion, that is, having a relationship with the body and blood of Christ in communion, that particular event is irrelevant and may be seen as slightly ridiculous. The outside observer, better put, the modern person, may see participating in the consumption of a god as primitive. And I suppose they sort of have a point. The consumption, even symbolically or morally, of a god's body and blood, certainly greatly removed from the modern worldview in thinking. So we have to understand non-Christians who see this ceremony as outmoded, irrelevant, and a leftover legacy of the ancient world in which people had no control over nature and sought by sacrifice or by consuming that sacrifice a way of guaranteeing their future in the world. So the communion meal may be seen by many non-Christians as irrelevant, outmoded, and primitive. So to the outside observer is more intent on getting an upscale car or a beautiful wife, the sacrifice of Christ or the reenactment of that sacrifice in the communion meal is irrelevant and slightly ridiculous. Or the outside observer, or better put, modern person, may see participating in the consumption of a god as extremely primitive. I suppose they have a point. The consumption, actually, symbolically and morally, of a god's body and blood is greatly removed from the modern worldview. So, quite understandably, non-Christians may see this ceremony as outmoded, irrelevant, and a leftover from the ancient world when people had no control over nature and sought by sacrifice and by consuming that sacrifice to guarantee their world. For the Christian, however, the Lord's Supper has a different significance. For the Christian, the death of Christ on the cross is the final and ultimate sacrifice to bring a broken and twisted humanity into a positive relationship with its Creator and his only Son, Jesus Christ. Most important, when a Christian partakes in the Lord's Supper or communion, the Christian is attaching himself, just like in baptism, as the infant is attached. When the Christian partakes of the Lord's Supper or communion, the Christian is attaching himself or being transformed in the image of Christ. Or better put, the Lord's Supper brings the Christian believer into relationship with Christ and into the image of Christ and his personhood and humanity, and brings us to the person and humanity which you all have the potential to be. So the Lord's Supper for the Christian has a totally different significance. The death of Christ on the cross is the final and ultimate sacrifice to bring people into a positive relationship with the Creator, with Christ and the Creator. But most important, when a Christian partakes in the Lord's Supper or communion, the Christian is attaching himself, gaining a relationship, and being transformed to the image of Christ, just like the child in baptism is being brought into the image of Christ and person of Christ. The Lord's Supper and communion brings the Christian believer into relationship with Christ and into transformation into his image. So, I think we're trying to understand what's going on here with baptism and the Lord's Supper. That is a way of bringing people to Christ. As a result of those events, the person is transformed into the perfected humanity they were meant to be and can only be in relationship with Christ. So that's what baptism and the Lord's Supper is all about, having a relationship and becoming a kind of a person that you are capable of being in your potential, in the image of Christ. So we have to say here that, just to conclude here, that if we look at the world, we see that human race is failed and broken. The evil and sin that infects the world dominates it. So in baptism of the Lord's Supper, Jesus offers his relationship to us and his love, and he still sees us as having the capacity to grow into something else and out of the diseased world the human race has destroyed, that it exists in its present form and the result of sin. So it's obvious to any person the world is a human race has failed and broken, and the evil and sin that infects the world dominates it. Nevertheless, as I said, in baptism and Lord's Supper, Jesus offers his person and love and still sees humanity as having the capacity to grow and out of this diseased world that exists as a result of sin. So the baptism and the Lord's Supper are coming to know the love of Christ and participating in the love of Christ and coming into a relationship with the love of Christ. That is what these events are about. They are not outmoded. They are not backward, nor is Jesus outmoded and backward. As a matter of fact, he's ahead of all of us in thinking completely. If you read the Gospels, you'll see how far ahead he actually is, such as in the statement, loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you. These are extremely advanced thoughts, and there's no question that Jesus is ahead of the game for everybody. And therefore, in baptism and the Lord's Supper, we are brought into a relationship in love and communion with the love of Christ. If you want to know more about the sacraments, you can look at my book, Essays on Faith, Cult, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy, pages 8, 9, and 10. I've enjoyed speaking about this. I spoke about it before, and I enjoy trying to explain theological ideas that are so terribly important to me that the modern world wants nothing to know about. The more you know about Christ, the better your life is going to be, and the more enlightened your thinking will be. Okay? You will not be a mere person getting a new car or getting a new set of clothes. You will be a person who has grown into the love of the Son of God in heaven as he speaks to us each day in the communion meal and in baptism. He gives us his love, offers us his love each time we take the Lord's Supper and each time a infant is baptized. That infant is being brought into the kingdom of God in Christ. And as he grows in years, partakes in the Lord's Supper, his growth into the love of Christ will be even greater. It is about the baptism and the Lord's Supper are about the formation of a love relationship with Jesus. I hope you've enjoyed this talk.